Well, turn once again in Nehemiah. I hate to leave Nehemiah, so I found another prayer in it, and we'll just look at it. And next week, we'll probably get into that really long prayer when he was governor. But here, he's still building. And there's just so many applications in here, it's hard to leave. And, you know, we talked about earlier about the opposition of the enemy, and we saw the various mockings and ridicules and reproaches. But in chapter 6, enemy's efforts are even being intensified even more, it seems, because they are beginning to realize, hey, this wall is going up, and we got to do something, and we got to do something drastic. So in verse 1 of chapter 6, it said, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that they had rebuilt the wall, and there were no breaks left in it, though at the time they had not hung the doors and the gates. So the wall's now done, pretty much. The gates haven't been hung yet, but man, it's about, for the enemy, it's about the curtains, you know. So here's their scheme, and it's a very cunning scheme. They send word to Nehemiah and invite him in kind of a friendly sort of way. Let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they sought to do me harm. The villages of Ono are out in the middle of nowhere in the land of Benjamin, and so what they want to do, of course, is get Nehemiah away from the city where there is, they know that the Israelites have armed themselves, and they weren't able to really attack them as they were building the wall because, you know, they had the sword and the trowel. They had one group would be standing with the sword and protection, and the other group would be building, and then they would trade places. But they're trying to get Nehemiah out by himself here. And they want to get him away from the work, of course, and they want to cause the work to stop. But look at Nehemiah's answer in verse 3. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I think it's a great application for you or I. Are we really looking at serving the Lord as doing a great work for Him? We can't come down when we're invited to come someplace or whatever else. He's saying, why should the work cease while I leave to go away with you? Now look at their persistence in verse 4. But they sent me this message 4 times. The enemy is not without persistence, are they? But when they sent me this message 4 times, I answered them in the same manner. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sends his servant with this open letter. And this open letter is really filled with poison and treasonous accusations. It says it's reported among nations. And Geshem says, well, good old Geshem, the Arab enemy, you know, it doesn't matter. But this is really good. I come to you with all these facts. And I'm quoting my brother here, who is your enemy. You know, that's really good. But anyway, Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. That'd be Ahasuerus. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. And notice the cunningness of that. Here's this letter. It's a threat. We're going to send this letter. But, you know, let's get together and we can work this thing out. Now, look at the premise. It's a false premise, but yet the enemy is trying to get you to come into the auspices of a false premise and sit down and work it out. What are we talking about here? There's nothing to work out. This is just a false premise. And so Nehemiah, now in response to this 5th time, says, no. Such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Remember that when things come against you that are invented in somebody's own heart, you don't give them all that much credibility where you're going to drop the work of the Lord and go sit down with them and try to reason out these accusations. And he sees it very quickly there in verse 9. All they were trying to do was to make us afraid. That's always the enemy's approach, to make you afraid or to discourage you. And here's what their logic was. Their hands will be weak. They'll get afraid, then their hands will be weakened, and the work won't be done. But look at the prayer. Very short prayer. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. How many times have you prayed that? If you haven't, pray it. The word strengthen there is a very, it's used almost 300 times in the Bible. And a couple of times would come to mind where that word is used that would bring it into focus. In Joshua, when he was exhorted to go into the promised land, he said, be strong and of good courage. That's this word. Be strong, be strengthened. Chazak. And like in Isaiah 41:10, which is one of my favorite verses, fear not, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will what? I will strengthen you. That's that word, strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So here he's praying to God to strengthen my hands. Afterward, now we have more intrigue, and this is really spies being used here. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah. Now, Shemaiah is also mentioned earlier, but it's a different Shemaiah. That Shemaiah had a different father. This is the Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. Ooh, the enemy has a secret in our midst. And he says, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. Now they are resorting to his personal safety. They're resorting to threatening his personal safety. And notice what would happen here if he would agree to this. If he, being the leader of all the people, would go into the temple to hide because he was afraid for his life, what do you think they would do? They would all run and hide as well, wouldn't they? They'd leave the post, leave the work, and the enemy could come in. Not only would the work stop, but the enemy could come in and destroy the work, destroy the wall. So look at what Nehemiah says in verse 11. Should such a man as I flee? He recognizes he's the leader here. And he needs to be strong in the Lord and not fear and run and hide. So he says, who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his own life? I will not go in. So he is valuing the work more than his own safety and more than this threat. And he also has this spiritual perception here in verse 12, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because he was hired by the enemy. So the enemy will come against you, either directly or through other people. And maybe there'll be people in your own camp who have been in effect hired by the enemy to be a spy against you. And then he goes ahead. So this is the reason that this false prophet guy, Shemaiah, was hired. Why? That he should instill fear in Nehemiah and the people, and then they would act that way afraid and sin, leaving the work, so that there might be an evil report that they might reproach me. The evil one is always trying to get you into sin, always trying to get you to turn away from the Lord, and then they can come right back and hammer you of telling you what a sinner you are. Right? So we're in Nehemiah chapter 6. In looking at one more time as Nehemiah is praying, and these prayers here are while he's a builder. We had him earlier praying as a cupbearer, and then later we'll have him praying as a governor, but here he's praying yet as a builder. So now he goes back to another prayer in verse 14. Nehemiah is filled with prayer, which is just an awesome thing. Verse 14, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So that's not a bad prayer for our enemies. Remember them. Remember them. Now that's not, you know, not quite as strong as David would say, knock out their teeth and all this, but Lord, remember them. But the wall now, what happens? He's continuing to pray and then work, and we see the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And this is so amazing that even the enemy sees it's of the Lord. Because look at the next verse. It happened when all of our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things. They were very disheartened in their own eyes for what? They perceived that this work was done by our God. Isn't that great? So your efforts in fulfilling what the Lord is giving you to do will be noticed. And your efforts, if done in and through and with the Lord, may even cause the enemies to notice that it was done by God. not by you, not by Nehemiah. The enemy starts saying, oh, it's because Nehemiah was so gifted. It was because Nehemiah is the man of the hour. He's the guy we want to put in office and all this and that. No, they perceived this work was done by God. So, in review, when the enemy comes against you, for whatever threat, whatever it is, to leave the job, as Nehemiah said, I can't leave the job. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And the enemy came at him 5 times. And yet, he was resistant. And the 5th time, of course, with that open letter, which was very threatening because that's treasonous. When I'm going to send this letter to the king of and tell him that you want to, that you're proclaiming yourself king in Jerusalem. That's the reason you're building the wall. Those are very serious threats. But he says what? You invent those things in your heart. I'm not going to pay any attention to them because you just want to weaken our work. You want to have our hands feeble. And so he then says what in verse 9? Now, therefore, O God, strengthen our hands. So when the enemy comes against you, we want to strengthen our hands. The stronger the enemy's approach should be, the stronger our fling to the Lord and our asking the Lord for strength and our resolve to continue to do His work and His will. Right? Anytime you're doing anything for the Lord, you're going to have resistance. Because this wall had been prophesied by Daniel clear back in Daniel 9:25 that it would be built. And he went with the king's wishes to have it built. He was praying and fasting, and he knew it was in the will of God. But yet, look at all of the enemy's attempts to slow it down and to stop it. And yet, he didn't fall into those traps. He would pray, and he would get back to work. Pray and get back to work. And the work was done in 52 days. Amazing, wasn't it? Think how many years it had been since Cyrus had commanded that the Jerusalem be rebuilt. It was 90 years earlier, and still here today, the wall still hadn't been rebuilt. So 90 years later now, the wall is done, and the people perceive that the work had been done by God. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for this study. We thank you for the encouragement as we see examples of your people being faithful to you. And Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We do not want to flee because of fear. We do not want to be fleeing because of the accusations of the enemy. We know his teeth have been removed and his fangs, his claws have been removed, and yet he can make a lot of noise and he can bring great fear into our hearts if we but allow it. But help us to ask you to strengthen our hands and to continue with the work that you have given us, because we want to do it, because work for the day is here and night is coming. Lord, when man no more shall work, the time is short. Lord, help us really in effect to just to give it all we have, Lord, strengthened by you and keeping our eyes on you, knowing that it doesn't depend on us, but it depends on us being available for you to work through us. And prayer, Lord, we thank you for that. Awesome. Not only can we pray for our own selves, but you've told us to pray for others. So we want to pray for others this morning, Lord. And before we're done, I want to pray for the pastors here, and I want to pray for the board members. I want to pray for the Supreme Court justices, and also want to pray for the cabinet of the United States. So far from you, but Lord, we want to pray for these names this morning. But now, Lord, we want to just respond as you would lead us to pray. And so, Lord, may we be in one accord as our spirit is responding to you, Holy Spirit. We come in the name of Jesus and in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lead us now in Jesus' name.